Now, our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke in chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. This is a story of the Good Samaritan, a very familiar story. It's one of those stories that even has a cultural, a connotation to it. And it gets used, in so many parts of our society and all, such as, Good Samaritan laws, where if you stop to help somebody on the side of the road and provide aid, there's no legal protection for you for helping out somebody in need. And other, ways that words Good Samaritan are used in our society. But these words, being familiar, that sometimes they can be words that we may just pass over because they are familiar. But these words are still relevant and real for us. So I invite you to hear these words, starting at verse 25 of chapter 10 of Luke's gospel. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I will admit, one of my guilty pleasures to watch on Netflix is The Office. And if you're not familiar with The Office, the words of my mother-in-law describe the show quite well. It's cute, but not wholesome. And if you've seen this, it was on a few years ago, and so it's been a while since it's been off the air. But in this show, though, there's a character named Dwight. And Dwight is an odd person, to say the least. He is a person, I would say, typifies going too far with about anything, taking things to the extreme. And sometimes it could be something good. Most of the time, it's something not so good, something that would serve his own interest. But in doing this and how he kind of lives out, there was a line that came up once in there that he said that, compassion was for the weak. And while it's in the midst of him just being off the charts with antics and all this there, those words really struck at me. Because those words there, compassion is for the weak, we tend to think of compassion as something that we do or we share that is a sign, of caring. It takes some strength to have compassion. But if we think about how we live our lives, how we go about our lives, though, sometimes we forget about compassion, or we might deride it as a weakness. But compassion is a part of our faith. It's a part of who we are as followers of Christ. This story here of the Good Samaritan is a story of compassion, and I also believe one of comfort as well. For you have this man who is on the side of the road, who has been beaten, he's been bloodied, he is in need of care, and you have 2 men, a Levite and a priest, who are more concerned about upholding a particular image, following a certain law. I have no doubt that they were indeed faithful followers of God, but they were focused on the wrong things in this story. For as priests and as Levites, because of the laws that bound them as officials in the temple, they could not touch someone who had been bloodied or who could have been dead, as well as this man on the road probably appeared to be. Instead, you have this man, this Samaritan, who is considered to be an outsider by those who are in the know, so to speak, or in the center. And he is the one who shows compassion, who shows comfort, who shows care. The story of the Good Samaritan, because it is so familiar to us, it is so familiar, you know, it appears in pop culture, appears, you know, in our laws even, it appears in so many different places. There are words that we can just kind of become numb to because they are so familiar. The story of the Good Samaritan is indeed one of those pillar stories, I believe, of our Christian faith. But because it is so familiar, though, I believe it gives us an opportunity to look deeper into it, to look deeper into the story. When I was in seminary, a professor who taught preaching and also taught, you know, biblical exegesis, which is a fancy word for reading scripture and finding a meaning out of it, encouraged us to look at the stories that we find, you know, in the Gospels or throughout the Bible, to find a person in that story and to think about that story from their perspective. And so when I looked at this story here, the Good Samaritan, I took a look thinking about this story from that of the man on the side of the road. Now, a lot of times when we look at the story of the Good Samaritan, we think about it as being a story that calls us to do good, to do the right thing, to help those in need. And I've taught this story that way several times as well. And there's nothing wrong with that teaching of the story. But if you think about this story from that of the man who is in the ditch there, who has been attacked by robbers, and him asking for help or being in that state there, it is possible, I believe, that when we see it from his eyes, we could see there and ask an invitation for compassion. The Levite and the priest there, unfortunately, did not live into that invitation or that ask to live with compassion, but the Samaritan did. He lived that out and was able to provide comfort for that man who was struggling, who was in need. But here's the hard thing, I believe, when we start thinking about stories and looking for the ask or the invitation in them, is when we see this taking place here and, you know, Christ speaking out to us and calling to us and teaching us, you know, to live as the one who showed mercy in this story, what can be such a challenge about that is that we are called to be changed, to be transformed, and start seeing the world as Christ calls us to see the world. Because the priest and the Levite there, they would have been seen as honored members of society, people who are important. They have an important task, you know, set before them. And again, I come back and say, I do not question their devotion to God at all. But their priorities were not in the right place. Instead of being transformed and changed by God and living into the teachings of God that are contained, that they would have lived by, they found themselves caught and stuck by upholding laws and regulations that separated them, that I would say kept them from having compassion and sharing that comfort that God shares with us. It took that Samaritan, who was seen as the outside, who was not a part of the Jewish people there, who was seen as an outsider, somebody who was an heir, to live as God calls us to live, as Christ teaches us to live. He had that compassion. He was transformed and had care for that man who was in the side of the road. I believe it takes strength. it takes transformation from God. And it takes, more importantly, I believe, that grace that is shared with us from Christ to live as Christ teaches us to live, but also to be a people of compassion, who have care, who live as God calls us to live. We go back all the way to beginning there with that attorney, that lawyer who is asking all these questions of Jesus. And I believe that verse 29, we find ourselves a lot in this place as well as followers of Christ today. But wanting to justify, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Because there's so many times where we have invitations to share compassion and the love of God and to share that grace has been shared with us. And instead, we've tried to find ways to justify our actions of not sharing compassion, or perhaps trying to usurp the teachings of Jesus, trying to show that perhaps we know better than God in those moments. But I believe this lawyer here in his asking was able to have Christ speak into his life. So for us, I believe, as followers of Christ, we are called to ask those questions, I believe, to keep pushing forward and trying to understand, but also that when Christ gives us that direction, gives us that teaching, gives us that standard, that calling for us to live into, that we live into it and not find ourselves trying to justify not living as Christ calls us to live. Our poor gentleman, our poor character that I mentioned at the beginning of all this, Dwight Schrute, yes, he struggled with compassion. He struggled with understanding what compassion can really be. That yes, it takes strength. Yes, it takes transformation from God. It takes grace from God for us to live as a people with compassion, because God has shared compassion on us through Jesus Christ. Instead of being like those who say compassion is a weakness, let us be a people who see compassion as a way of following God, of living into the gospel, and being the people that God calls us to be. Amen.